להכפיש לכם במכות.
The problem with the settlement and the war on Bil'ain started in the early 80s. Some land was confiscated to build the settlement of Matatiyahu. Then in 1993, they confiscated another part of the land and built the settlement of Kiryat Sefer. And then in 2000, Israeli confiscated an additional piece of land to build a new settlement next to Mudin Elite settlement, which they called Eastern Matatiyahu. The settlement consumes a wide area of land. Most of it will be annexed to Israel by the wall. It is almost 2,300 dunams or 575 acres of land. Civil resistance started in Bil'ain after the start of the construction of the separation wall. And after we knew about the plans to build this settlement, because only at that time plans about the settlement were revealed. The first demonstration in Bil'ain started on the 16th of December 2004, and then we stopped for 1 month after the construction stopped for 1 month. And we did another one and stopped as the work stopped. But since February 20th, 2005, actions were organized every week and are still going on.
Oh, it's very tired today.
It's been a long day.
Yeah.
So difficult.
This is the demonstration before the court, before our court in the high court in Jerusalem, about the wall. On Sunday, the court want to speak about, to take a decision about the wall that's built in Bil'ain land. And we invited many people, international Israelis, volunteers, and Palestinian in this demonstration. And we raised Palestinian flag to tell the Palestinian we have a big problem with the soldiers, and we have a big flag. This is a Palestinian flag, not green or white or black. We want one flag, and we want to tell the Palestinian to stop the fighting between Gathers, Fatah, and Hamas, and to demonstrate against the occupation, to stop the occupation in Palestine land. And we do this after praying, after Jummah praying. When we arrived, the soldiers closed the gate by the fence, and we want to enter. They stopped us, and some of the youngs throwing stones to the soldiers, and the soldiers began shooting rubber bullet and tear gas. And it's not far. All of the people who's injured near the soldiers, they don't throw stones. One of the injured is journalist, and their hands is broken, their fingers, and now he's in Sheikh Zayed Hospital in Ramallah. And we have another two youngs from the internationals. They entered the Tel Shomer Hospital, and the two youngs in a difficult situation now. And all of the who's injured, around 12 people today injured in our demonstration.
Of the 12 people injured in this demonstration, one sustained life-threatening injuries.
Phil Reese from Australia was shot in the head by a rubber-coated steel bullet, which resulted in a brain hemorrhage. He had been filming the demonstration. BJ Lund from Denmark was also shot in the head and suffered a fracture in his jaw. Both are currently recovering. But the people of Berlin are not strangers to this sort of violence. I asked Abdullah Aburrahme of the Popular Committee Against the Wall in Berlin if this demonstration was unique in that it resulted in the injury of demonstrators.
Every demo we have some people injured, but all of the people from the beginning until now, around 500 youngs injured from Palestine, and we have around 100 from Israelis and international who's injured.
The people of Berlin have been demonstrating every Friday for the last 15 months, confronting the wall and the army that stand between them and their land. But the resistance here in Berlin has taken on many different forms. In December 2005, the people of Berlin decided to do something never before done in the struggle against the annexation of Palestinian land. The Popular Committee Against the Wall in Berlin decided that in order to oppose directly the continued construction of this settlement, they must occupy their land. Abdullah Aburrahme described what happened.
We have a road, but we want to take to be closer to the room, not to take the road. Yeah. This outpost, we began, we know that illegal houses built without permission from the government. And when we know this information, we come and we take a decision to put a caravan in this area. Where are we going now? To put a caravan there. And we put the first caravan in 21 of December. In another, we put ourselves in this caravan and closed this caravan, me and my friends, internationals, Israelis, volunteers. And in the second day, they gave a big machine and take the caravan and beat us very badly. And when we return to the village, we thinking about another idea. We take a decision to put another caravan. We put another caravan in 25 of December, after 4 days after the first caravan. And they back the soldiers and tell us, why you are putting another caravan? We want to take it tomorrow, because now it's later in the evening and the office is closed to take a permission to take this caravan. But in the morning we return and take this caravan. And we making dialogue between us and between them. Why you are didn't take this home from our land? It's illegal homes. They say we know this, but we have steps to take it, to destroy it by the court. We tell him, if we have a home like this, you can do the same thing. They say, yeah, if you have a home with windows and with doors, with ceiling, it's okay, not like the caravan. Okay, we say, okay, yalla, bye-bye. They left us. And we thinking in the night to build a small home. In the night at nine, it's rain and cold. We take this decision and we begin to build this small home. And it's closed, the gate is closed, and the soldiers here, it's very, very difficult to give the material and to build, because the soldiers, if they see us, they stop us. We can come from here. We take, we take a decision, and we, many people around, 50 persons, from Israel, from internationals, ISM, and from our my village, we gave the material by hands, and we began to build it at nine. It's rain, cold. We put a fire in the middle of this room to be dry, to dry quickly. And at 2 o'clock, after 5 hours, we finished this room, and we put the ceiling in our hand, the ceiling. Until 6 o'clock morning, and we put the ceiling on the room, and the soldiers coming at 7. When they say the room is built and ready, it's very anxious and very nervous. Asking many questions, and they take a photos for the room. And they take the caravan, the second caravan, and they tell us, you make a permission for this room, and you have 2 weeks to do this permission. After 2 weeks, we go to the Beit Il to do this. We saw the employer have a holiday, 2 weeks, another 2 weeks for this employer, and they say to us, return after another 2 weeks. We have, come here, we have now 2 months, 1 month, and until now we making the permission and the steps for permission, and until now we have this room, it's here, and 20 hours we are here, Palestinian flag on it. And sleep in this room, and coming day and night, and the court tell the soldiers to be open the gate, that's the gate near the wall, to enter to our room.
This small one-room house built on the Israeli side of the wall is still standing today, as its demolition is tied up in the courts. The reason for this is that the Mudin elite settlement, which is illegal under international law, may very well be illegal under Israeli law as well, due to the absence of any permits whatsoever to build. If this were to be the finding of the Israeli High Court, it would be the settlement and the wall that was demolished, and not Bilin's one-room house. Michael Sfaudi, the Israeli lawyer representing Bilin in court, explains.
Within the three, there is no case that contends that the settlements are illegal. We argue that the construction of the neighborhood is illegal according to planning and construction law, not according to international law. Basically, we have three different court cases now, one dealing with a fence, one dealing with a neighborhood that was built on Bilin's land for the settlement, and the third one of just filed that deals with the ownership of the land, trying to cancel retroactively the expropriation of the land. These are the three cases. They are intermingled and interrelated. And at the moment, all of them are pending. There was a hearing, a very long one, a very tedious one, a very difficult one. We're still waiting for a decision. The option that was raised during that hearing was that the court, that the hearing was in the framework of the petition regarding the fence, and the option that was raised is that the case will remain pending until a final decision will be rendered in the other two cases, because if the neighborhood will be cancelled, then of course it has ramifications on the legality of the route of the fence. If the neighborhood will be koshered and built, then it also has consequences and ramifications on the correct or the legal route.
There has never been a case in the Israeli High Court that has successfully challenged a settlement under Israeli law, according to Michael Safaudi. But these legal challenges are only one avenue through which the people of Bilin have taken their struggle, and it will surely continue regardless of what the Israeli High Court rules. Reporting from Occupied Palestine with the IMEMC, I'm Seth Porcello.